ti, Señor. Síguenos estrenando, Señor.
Queremos darte la alabanza que tú mereces.
Amén.
Eres merecedor de toda alabanza y adoración.
Amén.
Señor, disponemos nuestro corazón a ti.
Amén.
Para ser entrenados.
Amén.
Para ser ajustados.
Amén.
Queremos aprender de ti.
Amén.
Well, praise the Lord for this opportunity to get into the hymns and to learn to appreciate the hymns even more. To start, I think I'd like to read a few verses with you. If you have your Bible, you can open with me. I'm going to read Psalm 104:33 first, and then three verses in the New Testament. In Psalm 104, verse 33, it says this: I will sing to Jehovah while I live.
Amen.
I was struck by this.
Amen.
Are you alive?
Yes.
Then we need to sing to Jehovah.
Amen.
I will sing to Jehovah while I live. I will sing psalms to my God while I yet have being.
Amen.
Do you have being?
Amen.
You are here, right?
Amen.
We're living. We have being.
Amen.
We need to sing psalms.
Amen.
And sing to the Lord. This is a very important part of hymn singing. We sing a lot in the meetings, and we sing to each other. Sometimes we say, brothers sing to the sisters, sisters sing to the brothers. All very good, all very scriptural. But the first verse that we chose for this training is singing to the Lord. We need to sing to the Lord. You know, the Psalms were written, all of them are songs, and they were written to be sung to the Lord. And, of course, some or to be sung to ourselves. This says, O my soul, sing to ourselves. But the basic point here is that we need to sing to the Lord, and I hope that in these few weeks together, I don't know how long, we're going to have 4 weeks in the beginning, whether we'll continue afterwards or not, it's up to the Lord, but I hope that we could develop more of a habit of using our hymnal in our personal time with the Lord, singing to the Lord personally. I think all of us have some experience. You wake up in the morning with a hymn, right? And then you should sing that to the Lord. Don't think it's just a coincidence that, you know, the devil didn't put a hymn in your mind for you to wake up in the morning. I guarantee you that. The devil does not, you know, right? This morning I woke up with, fresh as the dew of the morning. You know, that hymn 708. So I just sang it to the Lord. Very enjoyable. Very sweet time with the Lord. So I hope you will sing to Jehovah while you are alive.
Amen. Amen.
Then Ephesians 5:19. Probably can turn to that with me. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your hearts to the Lord. So we need to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Matthew 26:30, this is a famous verse after the Lord established his table. After singing a hymn, that's the Lord Jesus with his disciples, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So this verse is where we get the point or the practice of singing a hymn to the Father at the end of the Lord's table or toward the end of the Lord's table. So, and after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Acts 16:25 is a wonderful verse. And about midnight, Paul and Silas, while praying, sang hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I think people got saved that night because of their singing hymns. And they were praying, but they were also singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to him, to them, singing hymns. So these are just a few verses to start. Now, at the beginning, I just want to give you a little bit of our burden before we get right into the singing part. We have some burden that, first of all, we would learn the hymns in this hymnal. There are 1,080 in this hymnal. There's another group in the supplement. But basically, This hymnal, and I want to point this out, with music is our textbook. Because the hymnal with music has resources in it that we don't have in the other printed hymnals with words only. They have a metrical index, which I'll tell you about later. They have an author's index, which also can be very useful. They have an index of the melodies by name, which is very interesting. We don't use it that much, but it's a very interesting resource. And they have there is a preface in here that we're going to read in a couple of minutes. Brother's going to read it to us. So that's why we've ordered many hymnals. We have a discount on them. So we'd like you to buy one. Don't think because you don't read music, it's not useful to you. Forget about that. Whether you read music, you don't read music. Everything in the one with text only plus these five indices are in this hymnal. It's good for you to have one. This to me is a treasure, and I have many hymnals. I've been singing hymns my whole life, and when I got a hold of this, I realized this is a real treasure.
Amen.
Because here you have 263 hymns by Brother Lee, which are not printed anywhere else. You have over, I don't remember now exactly, but I think it's close to 40 hymns by Watchman Nee. He wrote many very famous hymns, very precious hymns, that you will not find printed anywhere else. So we hope that you could treasure this hymnal, get to know it, and that it could be, you know, next to your Bible, your second favorite book. How's that? That would be good. So when you go spend time with the Lord, you have these two, both together, right? Yeah, you can sing to the Lord. You know, many times in our personal time, I come and I start to pray, but I just feel cold. And the Lord just touches me. Just sing. So I open a hymn, any hymn, doesn't really matter. And just sing to the Lord. It warms our heart, you know, and helps us then to come to the Word and to spend time with the Lord. So the hymns often touch our heart. Okay, now we're going to ask the brothers to come up. And because of the live stream, we want them to read the preface to us. So if you have your hymnal with music, you can turn to the preface right after the title page. There's a preface here. If you want to pick up a hymnal, you can go to the back and get one, pay for it later. But we're going to read through this preface. I don't know exactly, probably take us 10 or 12 minutes. The brothers will read alternately a paragraph each, and pay attention. If you have it, you can read along. If you don't have it, you want to pick up a copy, you can get one. But I want you to pay attention. There's a lot of riches in this preface, and there's a lot of explanation as to how this hymn book came into being, how much work went into it, and I hope that would heighten our appreciation of this collection of hymns. So let's go ahead.
Christian hymns and songs are the expression of the holy and spiritual sentiments of the saints, formed by their experiences in Christ, their knowledge of God and His truth, and their appreciation, praise, and thanksgiving to God the Father.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They are necessary both for Christian meetings and for Christian private life in order to fulfill the following purposes. 1. To worship God the Father.
Amen.
2. To praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
3. To edify the saints.
Amen.
4. To build up the church.
Amen.
5. To fight the spiritual warfare.
Amen.
6. To preach the gospel.
Amen.
The church has been on the earth for nearly 20 centuries. In such an extended period of time, throughout all the centuries, many good hymns and songs have been produced by many saints who have possessed a certain amount of spiritual experiences and knowledge. We follow in their train and are blessed to enjoy all their writings as a rich heritage.
Amen.
In this present compilation, therefore, we have done our best to collect all their works within the limit of possibility, that all the riches of God's household may be utilized and enjoyed by today's church.
Amen.
For all these, we are grateful to the writers as well as to our Father, the giver of all gifts.
We have one hymn in this hymnal that was written in the 4th century. The 4th century. And we have many, many hymns written in the 18th century. We have more from the 19th century. And then, of course, quite a few from the 20th century. But these hymns, we really are standing on the shoulders of many Christian writers who have been writing hymns over the centuries.
We have sought to include in the collection all the classical, good, sound, and spiritual hymns and songs, excepting a few which have not been available to us because of unnegotiable copyrights. In so doing, over 700 of the hymns from past centuries were chosen.
Amen.
In addition, we have endeavored to obtain from many spiritual writings pieces of quality that would be suitable for setting to music and singing as hymns. A considerable number were collected and arranged from these sources, increasing the number to over 800. We are convinced that this compilation contains the cream of all the past centuries of Christian experience and apprehension of truth in hymns and songs.
Amen.
Amen. In selecting the hymns, the wording was minutely scrutinized, and a good number of alterations were made, except where a copyright has been involved, in order to improve their accuracy in truth and enrich their spirituality in meaning. In this delicate and difficult work, we have sought, however, to depart from the meaning and words of the original author only where we deemed it necessary.
Amen.
In the way of the Lord's recovery, the church's knowledge of the Lord and His truth is progressing daily, and new discoveries are continually being made by the saints in the spiritual experiences. Though the hymns and songs composed in the past are many, and not a few are masterpieces, yet they have not attained to the present phase of the Lord's recovery, and in many respects are not adequate to meet the advanced need of today. In the past 40 years, the Lord has strongly recovered the truth and experience of Christ as life.
Amen.
And the church as the expression of Christ.
Amen.
And it is these two matters that the Lord is particularly emphasizing and seeking to recover in a full way among His people today.
Amen.
Accompanying these, some vital aspects of the inner life have also been recovered, such as knowing and discerning the Spirit, exercising the Spirit, releasing the Spirit, and so on. Among the hymns and songs of the past, it is difficult and sometimes impossible to find some which can express our feelings, experiences, and knowledge in these aspects. The hymns inherited from past centuries for the worship of God the Father and for the praise of the person of the Lord Jesus are also very few in number.
In order to meet the urgent need for adequate hymns in these aspects, we have endeavored to translate some of the hymns produced in the Chinese language in the past 40 years, and also to compose more new ones to fill the gap and keep our expression in hymns and songs up to date. This has been done, of course, according to what grace and time would permit. The number of our translations is 33, and that of our new compositions is 244, bringing the total number of hymns to 1,080. All translations are marked with a dagger, and all new compositions with an asterisk, to make a distinction. Including the translations and newly composed hymns, this collection may be considered quite comprehensive, covering most areas of truth and experience to date.
We have classified all the hymns and songs into 30 main categories, which are arranged according to truth and spiritual experience. All of the categories have been carefully and elaborately subdivided into 400 subdivisions with suitable headings to facilitate the proper selection of hymns in meetings and other occasions, and to aid in the apprehension of the dominant thought of each hymn. These are listed in the contents and printed at the top of the pages. We have also sought to arrange the hymns within each subdivision into an appropriate order, but it has not always been possible to adhere strictly to such an arrangement.
An index of the first lines of all hymns, with the first lines of choruses in alphabetical order, is prepared at the rear of the hymnal, so that the hymn may be located by recalling either its first line or the first line of its chorus.
We're going to skip the next few paragraphs. I'll just give you a little summary. The next paragraph is related to tunes. some are new tunes and they may need to be learned by us, and some music was made more singable and so it was changed a little bit. Then the next paragraph, much attention has been given. This is matching the tunes to the hymns. So some hymns have two tunes to them. It'll say first tune, it'll say second tune. So when you go through, you'll see that in the hymnal. Then others will have alternate tune at the bottom, which means that the compilers did not consider to print that tune there, but that could be used if preferred. There's an alternate tune at the bottom. It just mentions the number. And then the way that this hymnal is printed is there's only the first verse under the music. If you have the hymnal, you'll note that. And in old hymnals, many of the old hymnals that I grew up with, all the five verses are written under the music. It's just very hard to find out. You know, you're reading verse 3, and then you go down and you've got to find out, where is verse 3 now? So it's just hard to read it that way. So they've changed that so that the first verse is under the music and all the subsequent verses are written in paragraph form for our comprehension, to make it more readable and to make it more touching. When you read through that verse, it's all right there. It's easier to touch you and to be touched by the lyrics of that hymn. Then the next short paragraph talks about we don't have soprano, alto, tenor, bass on the clef, the piano music. That's just a distraction. And then an explanation of why the author's name, except where copyright needs to put the author's name at the top, the author's names are not at the top of the hymns. That's just to avoid distraction. We want to get right to the hymn. We're not so concerned about who wrote it. We're not giving glory to the person who penned it or who wrote the music to it. There are authors indexed at the end if you want to find out. But while we're in the hymnal, while we're in the hymn, we want to concentrate on the hymn. And then maybe you can go ahead and start with, "We are really thankful."
We are really thankful to the many who have given us kind permission for the use of their hymns, poems, and tunes, some without charge. We have made every effort to contact copyright owners to secure permission for the use of their pieces. If we have inadvertently overlooked any and included them without proper permission or credit, we ask the lenience of the owners. Upon notification, we will give due credit in subsequent editions.
Amen.
All of our translations marked with a dagger and all of our new compositions marked with an asterisk are freely available for the use of all the children of God. In order to avoid confusion, however, we would ask that the living stream be consulted before they are reprinted.
We must express here our deep thanks to the many brothers and sisters who have rendered precious help in so much of the collecting, selecting, translating, word improving, music adjusting, hand copying, typewriting, photographing, proofreading, and printing work.
Wow.
This hymn book has truly been completed in coordination according to the principle of the body. May all the glory be unto the head,
Amen.
God's glorious Christ.
Amen.
The book has been prepared to meet the needs of all kinds of Christian gatherings, except perhaps children's meetings, for which we believe the saints can better prepare extra material according to their particular needs, and also for use in the home and in the saints' private fellowship with the Lord. We would like to emphasize this latter use, since it can be a source of much blessing to the individual and satisfaction to the Lord, and because it is an exercise that is sorely missed and neglected.
Mm.
We would earnestly encourage all those who possess a copy of this book to use it together with their Bible in times of fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
When we have fed upon the Lord and His Word, it is well to express our experience of Him or our praise to Him in the words of a suitable hymn, singing it not so much musically as spiritually.
We would also encourage the saints to take time to learn new hymns and tunes. It is most rewarding. By increasing our familiarity with worthy hymns, our resource of expression is increased, and our meetings and personal fellowship are enriched.
I think this is a very important point. Part of your homework will be to learn a new hymn this week.
Amen.
And then the next time we may ask you to learn two new hymns. But we need to learn new hymns. If you don't know the tune, it's okay. I'll help you with that a little bit. There are places you can listen to it. But the point is, we need to learn new hymns. Otherwise, we're just stuck with the same. I mean, if you know 150 hymns, that's, you think it's a lot. But that's all you know is 150, and that's hardly 10%, you know, of what we have in this and the supplement. So we need to learn new hymns. Go ahead, you can finish up.
We worship Him for His wonderful ways and thank Him for His mercy and grace that this work might be accomplished in this needful hour. We faithfully offer it to His blessing hand, earnestly expecting with much prayer that He will use this little work to bless His saints and His churches for the expediting of the way of His recovery and the hastening of the coming day of glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers. Very good. Turn these off for now. While you have your hymnal in your hand there, I just want to note to you, the next section is the table of contents, which has all those categories that were mentioned in the preface. This is also in the hymns without music, but you have all these topical sections, blessing of the Trinity, worship of the Father, etc., ending with the gospel. So you have that index there. At the end of the hymns, after 1080, if you'll flip to the back of the hymnal, you'll find an index of authors and composers at the very end. And the asterisks and the daggers are there for those that were translated or newly written for this hymnal. And some, we don't know the author, so it's blank, it's anonymous. And then the composers are on the right. Some have two tunes, so there'll be two composers. And that goes on for quite a number of pages. All of the 1080 are there. Then after that, you have the alphabetical index of tunes. We don't use this too much, but I had a brother over at the house the other day, and he told me he just learned this new tune called Abide in Me, and it was written to the tune of... Well, actually, he was asking me about this word. This song, Abide in Me, has Fast Comes the Eventide. And he didn't understand this word, eventide. I said, it's like the evening. It's like, you know, a tide is... But eventide is an old English term for the evening. And then we looked up, and the name of the tune for that song is Eventide. I don't know if it's sovereign or what, but you know. So there are names for tunes. And the reason for this, the reason why I want to point this out to you is that in the early days, they didn't have written music out. But they knew these tunes by name. They knew the tune was, you know, was Anchor, or was, oh, here's one, Arizona. How's that, Chris? You know, there's all these tunes. Assurance, Ashley, you know, there's Duke Street, who knows what that is. You know, but there are names. And so someone would bring a hymn that they wrote. They said, I just wrote this tune. Let's sing it to Eventide. And all the brothers and sisters knew that tune, Eventide, so they could just sing it freely that way. So that was how, that's why the alphabetical index is here for all these tunes. Then the more important one, which I hope all of us will learn to use, is the metrical index of tunes. Now, for those of you who don't read music and probably don't even care about reading music, you may never want to learn to read music, let me tell you, it's not that hard. It's really not that hard. Music is a scale of 8 notes, the Western scale of 8 notes. That's just do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Those are all the notes for all the hymns. They only have 8 notes in them, and they're just arranged in different order. It's not that hard to get, okay? The second thing is, every tune has a metric to it. It has notes that have certain length of time. Most of our hymns are written in 4-4 time, meaning there are 4 quarter notes in every bar, or they're written in 3-4 time. There are 3-quarter notes in every bar, and you can write out the notes that way. And these metric on the top of your metric index, if you look at it, it means that this song has, if you look at 8888, it's called common, well, common meter is 8686. It's called long meter. 8888. Long meter, right? 8888 is long meter. And there's a lot of songs that are, if you look there, almost a full column of long meter, which means that there are 8 syllables in the first line. There are 8 syllables in the second line. There are 8 syllables in the third line. And there are 8 syllables in the fourth line. And any song that has 8888 at the top, you can sing to any one of these tunes in this metrical section. So if you don't know the melody of this song and it says it's 8888, I guarantee you, you know 20 hymns that are 8888 already. Just go look in there and find one. And you'll go down and you'll say, 8888, wait a minute, let me see here. Yeah, Arizona's in there. you know, 295, it's called Germany is the name of the tune. 295, that's God's Christ who is my righteousness. We know that. So if you're looking at a song that has 8888 and you don't know the melody, you can sing it to that melody. You can sing it to that melody. Then another important thing I would like to encourage you to do is write poems. Write hymns. They're poetry. And just choose. If you want to write 8-syllable lines, you want to write 8686, you can write 8787, you can write any. You can find a metric to write it. And then find a tune that fits it. And that is a good way to learn to write a hymn. Hymns are poetry. You should try to make it rhyme. You should try to make it make sense. It should say something, you know. And it should express your feeling, your experience of the Lord, or something from the heart. Okay, now, in this next section, we're going to quickly cover this lesson, chapter 15 from Watchman Nee's book, Messages for Building Up New Believers, volume 1. This is chapter 15 on hymn singing. We're not going to read it all through. I gave you a copy. There are more copies in the back for you to take home, and you can read all of it together. I want to cover a few things and then get to the three hymn examples that he uses in this chapter. First of all, after the intro in this chapter, he talks about hymns being the feeling of the authors. There are feelings behind hymns. Hymns are the expressions of this author's experience of Christ. They're an expression of this author's experience of the truth in the Bible and how they got saved and what their salvation means to them, how they are encouraged in times of trial. Some of them are longings to go deeper in the Lord and experience the Lord in a deeper way, in a way that they feel they need the Lord at this time, but they don't have that experience, so they write something that is, you know, a prayer to the Lord, as a longing to experience the Lord in that way. So they're full of feelings. This is the main word I want to leave you with in this first part. Brother Nee brings this out. When we sing a hymn, we should touch the feeling of the writer. The feeling that they're expressing should touch us. And we should enter into that feeling. And then that hymn can become your hymn. It can become your experience. It can become your food and your supply. Not just for today. It may be for the whole week. You know, sometimes I'm touched by a hymn and I'm just on the first verse, you know, this morning. Then tomorrow morning I come back and I realize, wait a minute, this has more verses than one. Let me try the second verse. And there's something there. Touch the Lord and enjoy the Lord. You may spend the whole week on that one hymn. That would be marvelous. Just enter into the feeling of that writer. Then Brother Nee goes on to the requirements for hymns. Every hymn that is up to the standard has these three requirements. I'm just going to summarize them for you. You can read the details later. First of all, every hymn must be accurate according to the truth. Okay? Charles Wesley said, "The theology we believe is the theology we sing." You might want to write that down. The theology that we believe is the theology that we sing. Which means that if I write a hymn and the doctrine or the truth is wrong in that hymn, I am leading believers astray because the truth is not accurate. Because the teaching from the New Testament or the Old Testament teaching is not accurate. We have to, every hymn that is up to the standard, the truth must be accurate. It has to be proper. And he gives some examples. There was an old gospel hymn. I don't know. Probably was in, I don't know the hymn. But it said that the blood of Christ washes our heart. It sounds wonderful. But according to the truth, the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience, which is just a part of our heart. The Bible tells us our heart is deceitful above all things. And none can even know it. So the blood doesn't cleanse our entire heart. The blood cleanses us, from our sins, from our shortcomings, and cleanses our conscience to serve the living and true God. That's right. But it's not, strictly speaking, to say, you know, to write a hymn about the blood cleanses my heart, wash my heart, wash my heart. No. Our heart is deceitful. We need a new heart. The Bible tells us that He has given us, taken the stony heart, right, and given us a new heart. So it's not that we wash it. We need a new one. Then the second item is that just to be according to the truth doesn't constitute a hymn. The hymn needs to be poetic. This is a very important point. It needs to be poetic in substance, in form, right, and in structure. It must be poetic, which means it should rhyme. It doesn't have to be a perfect rhyme. It could be a near rhyme. But when you sing it, there should be rhyme there. And whether it's A, B, A, B, or A, B, C, B, it doesn't matter what the rhyme scheme is. You decide that if you write it or you can see that. But it should have a poetic form. And poetry is touching. Poetry touches the heart. So if it's a good hymn, a hymn up to the standard, when you read it, when you sing it, when you pray over it and pray over those lines, it should touch you because it is poetry and it has this kind of structure. That's very important. And then the last point is also very important. This every hymn that's up to the standard needs to provide the spiritual impact. It must touch spiritual reality. It must bring us into some experience of the Lord and touch us with some experience of the Lord. If we sing a hymn on consecration, it should touch us to consecrate ourselves. If we just sing a hymn on the truth of you all should consecrate because you were bought with a price, so give yourself to the Lord, and it doesn't touch you, it's not going to affect you. But if the poetry is there, if there's something touching there from the author's experience about his or her experience of being touched by the Lord to consecrate themselves, that may touch us and has the opportunity to give us some spiritual, to help us to enter into the spiritual reality of that hymn and that burden. Amen. Now, we're going to come to these three examples of hymns that illustrate these three points. So the first one is hymn 127. So if you have your hymnal, you can turn to that. It's also printed in the sheet that we have. 127. And so I think, first of all, let's just sing this hymn through. And then we can go through a little bit verse by verse and touch a few of the verses and some of the points that Brother Nee brings out. This hymn is written by John Nelson Darby in the 1880s. And it's quite a high hymn. It's quite a precious hymn. As we read this hymn, I want you to consider the scene in Revelation 4 and 5 where the Lamb is there on the throne and all the hosts in heaven are praising the Lord and rejoicing that He is worthy, right? He has gone through His death, resurrection, and ascension, is now enthroned in glory and honor, and that's what this hymn is related to. It's rejoicing over His exaltation. Okay? Let's sing this hymn. Our 10,000 voices crying, Lamb of God with one accord. 1,000 saints replying, wake at once the echoing chord. Praise the Lamb, the chorus waking, all in heaven to loud and far, each tongue partaking, rolls around the endless song. Grateful incense, this ascending, ever to the Father's throne. Every knee to Jesus bending, all the mind in heaven is one. All the Father's counsels claiming equal honors to Son.
indulgence beaming makes the Father's glory known. By the Spirit all-pervading, hosts a number round the Lamb, crowned with light and joy unfading, hail Him as the great I Am. Joyful now the new creation rests in unstirred repose. In Jesus full salvation, sorrow now nor thraldom knows. Hark the heavenly notes again, loudly swells the song of praise. Amen, amen, responsive joy doth raise.
When Brother Nee wrote this chapter, probably early in the 20th century, he felt this hymn, there's no hymn higher than this hymn on praise to the Lord. Now this is before he wrote some hymns, and we have some other hymns that are also very high related to the Lord's exaltation. But he felt that John Nelson Darby did a tremendous job in depicting this picture in Revelation 4 and 5, that 10,000 voices are crying, Lamb of God, with one accord. I mean, we think when we get, 1,100 people here for, the whole church gathered together and we're praising the Lord, that's pretty tremendous, right? But think of 10,000 like that, right? And then thousands of saints replying, wake at once the echoing chord. What kind of a praise is that? And the poetic utterance here is quite touching, right? Let's read verse 1 again together. Hark, 10,000 voices crying, Lamb of God with one accord. Thousand saints replying, wake at once the echoing chord. I don't know how many this is, but it's myriads. It's all of heaven. In fact, there is a line in verse 3, all the mind in heaven is one. This is quite a statement. Quite a statement. All are there praising the Lamb for all that He has accomplished. What a glory this will be. We will be there, saints.
Amen.
But we can sing about it now.
Amen.
We can praise the Lord now.
Amen.
According to what He is, according to what He has accomplished.
Amen.
And then this verse 3 talks about this incense ascending. When you pray to the Lord, that's an incense. When you praise the Lord at the table, that is incense ascending to God.
Amen.
I don't think we think about this. I think we're so self-centered, we just think, oh, my prayer was so bad, and I didn't pray as good as Brother Freddy, and No, forget about it. Whatever you prayed, whatever you said, is incense to God.
Amen.
You may stumble over your words. Who cares? God is happy.
Amen.
You're feeding Him with your praises.
Amen.
You're feeding Him, Especially after this training and, the burden for the Lord's table meeting, I just feel like we're just too self-centered, brothers. We're too self-centered and worried about how we're going to, I can't pray that well. I don't know what to say. I enjoyed something this week, but I don't know what to share in my prophecy. Listen, if you touch the Lord this week, whatever you say when you open your mouth is incense to God.
Amen.
And it will feed the saints. Sometimes we may say something, it may not make that much sense, but if you really have experienced the Lord, that Christ that you've experienced will flow out.
Amen.
When you praise, when you sing, when you thank the Lord at the Lord's table. So don't be shy. Just release your spirit. And incense ascends ever to the Father's throne. And this verse 4, I just want to end with, this hymn is tremendous, but verse 4 is very good. Let's read this together. All the Father's counsels claiming equal honors to the Son. All the Son's effulgence beaming makes the Father's glory. Here you have God's economy in a precious, stanza here. The Father's counsel is claiming and declaring, this is my Son in whom I delight. Equal honor to the Son. It's not the Son is less than the Father. The Father is in the Son. The Son is in the Father. Equal honors to the Son. And then, I love this, all the Son's effulgence beaming makes the Father's glory known. This Jesus Christ, this Lamb of God, expressed God his entire human life and is expressing God for eternity. Expressing, right? The Father's effulgence. The Son is beaming out and expressing the Father. And he's making the Father's glory known throughout the whole universe. Anyone who met him when he was on the earth, they saw the Father, right? And Philip asked him, show us the Father. He said, well, I've been so long in time with you. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. He expressed the Father in his human living. He expresses the Father in eternity. He is the expression of the triune God. And you just have it here in this precious verse. And then, of course, in verse 5, the Spirit is... So the whole of the Trinity is involved here. By the Spirit all-pervading, hosa numbered round the Lamb, crowned with light and joy unfading, hail Him as the great I Am. Then we are included. Joyful now, what? The new creation.
Amen.
You have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and the new creation. Rests in undisturbed repose, blessed in Jesus' full salvation. Sorrow now nor thraldom knows. We don't know anything, nothing negative here. It's all enjoying the Lord. This is a very, very precious, precious hymn. Now I want you to turn to 578. And if you have your hymnal, you'll notice there's a dagger. This hymn was written by Watchman Nee. Let's sing this hymn together. We will use the hymnal tune, the first tune. Let's sing it all together. Amen. My will is weak, my strength is frail, and all my hope is nearly gone. I can but trust thy working true to gently hold and lead me on. I've tried my best, but still have failed. Even as before, I failed and erred. Thy patience is my only trust, to hold and keep me to thy word. Whene'er my heart is lifted up, how very near I am to fall. I dare not do, I dare not think. I need thyself in great or small. Thou art my Savior, strength and stay. O Lord, I come to seek thy face. Though I'm the weakest of the weak, my strength is not but thy grace. How many of you, this is the first time you've sung this hymn? How many? Quite a few. Okay, let's sing it again. How about sisters, verse 1? Brothers, we can pray along. Amen. Oh, my will is weak, my strength is frail, all my hope is nearly gone. Oh, I can but trust. Brothers, verse 2. I've tried my best, but still have failed. Even as before, I failed and
is my only trust, to hold and keep me to thy word.
Sisters, oh Lord, my heart, oh Lord, how very near I am to fall. I dare not do it. I dare not think. I need thyself. Brothers, verse 3.
Whene'er my heart is lifted up, how very near I am to fall. I dare not do, I dare not think. I need thyself in great or small.
Altogether.
Thou art my Savior, strength and stay. O Lord, I come to seek thy face. Though I'm the weakest of the weak, my strength is nothing but thy grace.
This is a very touching hymn. The last verse, which mentions, though I'm the weakest of the weak, is referring to the first line of the first verse, right? My will is weak, my strength is frail, and all my hope is nearly gone. So the writer here, this is of course Watchman Nee, the writer here is expressing that his will is not strong enough. His will is very weak, and his strength is frail. Doesn't have the strength to go on. And even his hope is nearly gone. But eventually, in each of the stanzas, he has this line of trusting in the Lord. I can but trust thy working truth. Our trust is only in the Lord's working. There's nothing we can do in ourselves, right? This is only in the Lord's operating in us. If you've read Watchman Nee's book on the overcoming life, there's a brother who finally comes to him and says, that's it, I just give up. Forget it, Brother Nee. I can't live an overcoming life. I just fail every time. I just can't make it. And Brother Nee said, finally, you realize that. Now you can overcome. Because it's only Christ who can overcome. When you realize, finally, that you can't make it, that you're weak, your strength is frail, you have no hope. When you realize that, then you can say, Lord, take me to do, work in me. You know, He is the one who is the works the willing and the working for His good pleasure, right? So this is expressed very sweetly, right? I've tried my best. We've all have gone through this, but still have failed. You even do your best and you fail. Even as before, I failed and erred. That means I've made the mistake, right? Thy patience. You know, it's so sweet. The Lord is so patient. Sometimes it just amazes me. Even after all these thousands of years waiting for His bride, He's still patiently waiting for us to be built together. But even personally, His patience, you know, we're so stubborn, we're so thick-headed, and you know. But His patience is our only trust, right? To hold and keep me to thy word. Again, it's not for us, to Him to strengthen us to do it, it's to hold us to His word and keep us in His word. That our trust is really in the word of God. Then I enjoy verse 3 very much. Whene'er my heart is lifted up. Sometimes you feel pretty good about yourself, right? How very near I am to fall. Right? We have this idiom, pride comes before the fall. You think you're doing good, then boop, better watch out because it's coming. Right? I dare not do, I dare not think. I need thyself in great and small. When I was enjoying this hymn, I don't know if it was yesterday, I thought of hymn 371. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. You couldn't sing that hymn if you didn't know it. Now that's obvious, isn't it? That's why we need to learn more hymns. Because when I'm in this hymn, that hymn came to me. And the enjoyment I had singing that hymn, super, you know, it just expanded how the Lord was speaking to me in this hymn. Because that phrase touched you. Actually, brothers and sisters, this is the way we should call hymns in the Lord's table. We shouldn't call hymns that we think would be good. We should call hymns because this phrase touched us while we're singing that hymn. I mean, we sang 105 this morning, right? The first hymn. And there's two or three lines in there about the Lord's love. The hymn is not on so much the Lord's love, but there's some phrases that were touching on the Lord's love. Then a brother called 152, which is all on the Lord's love. And how that lifted the table meeting. You know, you were here, right? If you were here. It just lifted the table meeting up on the Lord's love. How did that happen? Because that phrase reminded this brother of a hymn that he knew on the Lord's love. Well, probably we all know 152. Anyway, called that hymn, and that brought the table up. Brought the table up. And I felt like we should still sing another song to establish this matter of the Lord's love on the Lord's table, but somebody called a hymn before I got to it. Which was a good hymn. I mean, you know, the table was tremendous this morning. But I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I think if we had sang one more on the Lord's love, we would have gone up another notch. And how does that happen? It's because you know the hymns. Brothers and sisters, we have to learn the hymns. We have to learn new hymns. And you know, you're in a section here. If you're enjoying this hymn, 578 later this week on trusting in the Lord, there's a whole section on trusting in Him. You could learn a new one in there on trusting in Him. So, anyway, this is my point, that we can, this is how to follow the anointing in your personal time with the Lord, so that your fellowship with Him goes deeper and He can shine more on you. As I'm singing, I need Thee every hour, the Lord's saying, you're singing, I need Thee every hour, but you don't live like you need Me every hour. The light comes. The light comes. That's right, Lord, I don't. I think I can do it okay, you know. So, but the fact is, we really need Him every hour. And so, this is the way we can, that our fellowship with the Lord personally will be strengthened, will be deepened, will grow more in Him, and also how we can call hymns in the meetings of the church. Not just the Lord's table, the prayer meeting and the fellowship meeting, many meetings we can call hymns in this way. Learn to follow the feeling in your spirit. Learn to touch the hymn we're singing with your spirit, and touch, the Lord will touch you with one or two lines. I'm pretty sure about it. If you really exercise, He'll touch you. And then maybe it'll remind you of one to call after that. That would be, that will, if we begin to practice that way, I think our Lord's tables will just go higher and higher and higher. And forgive me, I think we'll bring the Lord back sooner, okay? Amen. Just throw that in here. Okay. It's good for you to read this. Of course, he wrote this hymn, so there's a lot here that he wrote. Now let's go to 377. This is a marvelous hymn. Mm-hmm. This hymn is by Margaret Barber, who pretty much shepherded Watchman Nee along the way after he got saved, and helped to train him and perfect him. She went to China and buried herself in the ground there, and out of that death and burial in China, Watchman Nee was raised up. I think that's a pretty good job. Anyway, she wrote many hymns in our hymnal, and this is one of the best ones. Hymn 377. Maybe we'll have Steve, can you play it through once for us? Because some of you may not know this melody. Okay, hold on, Steve. Let me sing it to you. It's in 3. It's really hard to play. It's in 3-2, which is very hard to play. Anyway. If the path I travel lead me to the cross. If you know it, you can sing it with me. If the way Thou choosest lead to pain and loss, let the compensation daily, hourly be, Shadowless communion, blessed Lord with thee. Try verse 1 again. If the path I travel lead me to the cross, if the way thou choosest lead to pain and loss, let the compensation daily hourly be. Shadowless communion, blessed Lord with thee. If there's less of earth joy, give, Lord, more of heaven. Let the Spirit praise thee, though the heart be rimmed. If sweet earthly ties, Lord, break at thy decree, let the tie that binds us greater, sweeter be. Lonely though the pathway, cheer it with thy smile. Be thou my companion through earth's little while. Selfless may I live, Lord, by thy grace to be just a cleansed channel for thy life through me. Sisters, read verse 1 to us. You know, if we're writing this hymn, if the way, if the path I travel, if the way you choose leads to pain and loss, we probably would write something like, then deliver me out of this path, Lord. Get me out of here. I can't suffer more loss. But it's quite touching that the writer of this hymn didn't write that, didn't feel that, didn't want that, but she wanted more fellowship. Let the compensation daily, hourly be shadowless communion. More fellowship, right? Blessed Lord, with thee. Her goal, her desire was more fellowship. Deepen the fellowship. And brothers and sisters, in our experience, you must experience the cross to have deeper fellowship. Because you have to die to yourself to have more fellowship with the Lord, a deeper communion daily, hourly with the Lord. Self has to go because self is in the way. So we must experience the cross. It's not a painful thing. It's a precious thing. If you have more fellowship, aren't you happy? You'll be much happier. You'll be much more fulfilled. You'll be much more joyful. Why? Because you have chosen the way of to take is fellowship. You've chosen that whatever it is, whatever my environment is, amen, Lord, I want more fellowship. Brothers, verse 2. If there's less of earth joy, give, Lord, more, again, more fellowship. What is more of heaven? You know, it's more fellowship. Go on. Let the Spirit praise thee, though the heart be riven. If sweet earthly ties, Lord, break at thy decree, the tie that binds us closer. This praise to this couplet, let the Spirit praise thee, though the heart be riven, which means what? Torn apart. Though the heart be broken, right? Let the Spirit praise thee. The writer here knows there's a difference between our spirit and our heart. The spirit can be full of praise to the Lord while the heart is being riven, is being broken, is being crushed. It doesn't matter. The Spirit can be released. The Spirit can enter into a deeper fellowship with the Lord. And in fact, many of you, I know many of you, have this experience. It's when your heart is breaking that you're closer to the Lord than when you have everything you want. It's when you're going through something that the fellowship goes deeper. You have more of the Lord. If you have the heart, you know, if you exercise to have this kind of a heart, and then you have this contrast here. The earthly ties are breaking, but the tie that binds us to the Lord is growing closer, sweeter. Amen. And again, it doesn't get closer unless the earthly ties get broken. I think we all know this, you know. You can't serve God and mammon. You need to deal with the world. Let's read verse 3. Lonely though the pathway, cheer it with thy smile. Be thou my companion through earth's little while. Selfless may I live, Lord, by thy grace to be. Just a cleansed channel for thy life through me. We're here for a little while. It's a temporary lightness of affliction, right? We're just here for a little while. We're just passing through. But what our heart is set on and what we want is that we would have a closer companionship with the Lord while we're here. We have a companion that's always with us, never leaves us. We need to strengthen that relationship. You know, this hymn and also the one prior that Weshman Nee wrote, these are very, very good hymns for our personal time with the Lord. Spend the time in these hymns with the Lord. Open up, pour out your heart to Him. Cry to Him. Tell Him all your frustrations and your... He's more than happy to... You know, if you come and tell me all those things, I'll say, okay, I got enough. I don't have enough time for all this. Tell people their patience doesn't last that long. But you can tell it all to the Lord. He will never leave. He will be your companion through the whole time. So strengthen your relationship with the Lord. We will share maybe a little bit in 2 weeks on the remainder of this chapter. There's classification of hymns and how to use the hymns. But I want you to take this chapter home and finish it this week. And then we can cover some of the things first in the morning, in the session 2 Lord's Days from now. Okay. You want to sing a couple more hymns?
Yes.
Okay. Let's sing 507. Once far from God and death in sin, no lot my heart could see. But in God's word the light I found, now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. Sisters, in me. Oh, what a salvation is that Christ liveth in me. As lives the flower within the sea, as in the foam the tree, so praise the Christ, truth and grace, His Spirit dwelleth in me. Christ liveth, Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation is that Christ liveth in me. together. With longing all my heart is filled, that like Him I may be. As on the wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ liveth in me. That Christ liveth in me. Chorus again. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation is that Christ liveth in me. Amen.
Cristo vive
in me. Cristo vive in me. Qué grande salvación que Cristo vive en mí. Aleluya. Amén. Y mía. Oh. Christ liveth in me. Amén. This hymn was written by D.W. Whittle. Dwight W. Whittle, W-H-I-T-T-L-E, was written in the 19th century. And it's a marvelous, marvelous hymn. Mainly because of this phrase, Christ liveth in me, oh, what a salvation this. This hymn is talking about salvation being a person living in us. That is a tremendous point. You know, the verses are... Once far from God, no light. You know, it's about His being saved, right? And has raised the flowers of earth set free about His salvation. But to me, the chorus is the main point. That what, how great a salvation this is that Christ lives in us. He's living in us. His salvation is not just we're being forgiven. We are being forgiven. It's not just that we're reconciled to God. We are reconciled to God. But the real salvation day to day is His living in us. He's living in us. And He wants to live out through us. And this brother who wrote this hymn saw that and experienced that and wrote that. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. We have many treasures in our hymnal. Many treasures. Some we, you know, we have yet to learn. I think this one's more familiar. We have yet to learn it. But we have a lot of marvelous songs in here. Now, how many of you never sang 299 until today at the end of the table? 299. It was your first time. Let's sing 299. This is a precious hymn. And Israel, look in the author's index. I don't even know who wrote this hymn. Let's read verse 1 together. A mind at perfect peace with God. Oh, what a word is this. A sinner reconciled through blood. This indeed is peace. Sisters, verse 2. Brothers 3, so nigh, so very nigh to God, I cannot nearer be. For in the person of His Son, I am as near. Altogether 4, so dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be.
The Lord
will
bring
Paget, Paget, P-A-G-E-N. Never anxious be. Since such a God is mine, He watches o'er me night and day and tells me mine. This is by CG is the initials, huh? CP, Paget, P-A-G-E-T-T, right? Paget or Paget, I don't know how to pronounce it. This, but he's written other hymns, songs in our hymnal. Okay, let's sing this one. Thank you.
a mind at perfect peace with God. Oh, what a word is this, a sinner reconciled through blood. This indeed is peace. By nature and by fact is far, how very far from God. Yet now by grace brought nigh to Him through faith in Jesus' blood. So nigh, so very nigh to God, I cannot nearer be, for in the person of His Son I am as near as He. Should I ever anxious be, since such a God is mine? He watches o'er night and day and tells me mine is thine.
This is a hymn I learned many years ago. I learned it here in the church life here in New York. It's a very precious hymn. And I realized even the first time we sang it, this hymn, you know, usually when we consider hymns, we want to begin to praise the worship the Father toward the end of the Lord's table meeting. We usually go to those first section on hymns on the Trinity and worship of the Father up through, I don't know what it is, 50-something, the 50s, 1 to 50, we always go there. But this hymn is very appropriate for the worship to the Father. And as we get into it, you can see that. It's talking about our being reconciled to God. And it's very touching in verses 3 and 4 that we're as near as the Son to Him and as dear as the Son to Him in love. Very touching, these verses 3 and 4. And there's no need for us to be anxious because He cares for us night and day. He watches over us. So this is a hymn that there are other hymns that may not be in that early section, but that may be appropriate for our singing in beginning our praise to the Father or continuing our praise to the Father. Sometimes we use hymn 600, My God, My Portion, and My Love, you know, that one. So there are sections in the hymnal, and there are, you know, as you saw in your table of contents, but there are hymns in sections that can go to, you know, they could be in two or three different sections. They could be sung in different areas. So it's not just enough to say, oh, this is not in the section on the Father. I shouldn't call it. If you know the hymn and you know the words of the hymn and it offers praise to God, the Father, then, you know, we can... There's no rules and regulations here. No one's going to say, oh, it's not in the first 50, we can't sing that one. No, not. We're not going to be that way. So we should be open to follow the Lord's leading in calling the hymns, and knowing the hymns, and knowing feeling of the hymn, and how it might fit in this place or in that place in the different meetings. And we'll get into more of that as time goes on. But I want to leave a little time for Ricky here to share a little something, and then we'll close.
Hymn 111. And I'd like to ask, are you familiar with this hymn, Roger? You don't know? Yeah. Sarah, are you familiar with this hymn? No? Yeah. But could you play the tune for us, Brother?
Yeah. Because we sing more often hymn 812. I come to thee, dear Lord. Same tune. Actually, most likely, I think this is the original tune. And I want to point this out, that the way I found this, actually, I found this some time ago, but this afternoon, just now, when Brother Dennis was showing us about the metric index in the back. It's metrical something, right? Sorry. Yeah. When you go there and you look at the metrical index, this is 6686, if I'm not mistaken. The short meter. Do you understand now what that means? The first line has six syllables. The second line has six syllables. The third line has eight, and then the last one has six. 6686. I was just looking through that short meter, and I saw a number that I'm familiar with, which is 812. I use 812 a lot, both in my personal fellowship with the Lord and when I try to help people to have fellowship with the Lord. Very often, that's one of the first hymns I recommend, 812. And then I saw, 111 is the exact same tune. So, not only 111, there's how many? There are six others. So, saints, actually, if you know 812, which probably you do, now you know five new hymns. Do you understand? So this week, every day, every morning, you could take one hymn to this tune, a different hymn. And what are the numbers? Could you read the number? 111.
253.
That's on the enjoyment of the Spirit. Uh-huh.
285.
Assurance of salvation. It's the beginning of... Come and rejoice with me on the assurance of salvation.
356.
356. 504, experience of Christ.
543.
More, and that's another one of ours. So, they're in different sections. That's another thing I want to encourage you. It would be very educational to spend some time in the table of contents. You know, in the table of contents, excuse my book because this is from the original printing, and that's the point I want to make, actually. The table of contents, when we read in the preface that all the hymns, the 1,080, are in 30 categories, it'd be good for us. Actually, it really would be a spiritual education just to have a familiarity, even to memorize the 30 categories. That's like going to Bible school. That's getting a biblical education. And then, do you remember in the preface, it says there are more than 400 subcategories. So it would be something first to get the 30 categories, and then you go back and spend some time on the blessing of the Trinity. Just look at the different phrases for the blessings of the Trinity. There are what? I think it's seven. And then worship of the Father. How many? Don't count, it's okay. Huh?
21.
Just to read that is a kind of broadening, enhancing of our spiritual knowledge. But anyway, I just wanted to highlight that. This is not mainly what I wanted to share with you. I did want to present this as Exhibit A. This is my original hymnal. This is the first hymnal I ever bought in the Lord's Recovery in 1972 in Los Angeles. I bought this hymn book. And I believe this is the one of only 5,000 printed by that in the original printing. It was 5,000. We often say that the Lord moves by His Word. Even from the beginning, after there was the rebellion of Satan, and God was going to restore the universe, it says, "And God said, let there be light." So first is His speaking, and His move comes out of His speaking. And then throughout the Bible you see that, and throughout our Christian history you see that God moves through the Word. And we know that even the history of Western civilization, when you put the history of Western civilization and then you put the history, the Christian history overlaying it, and the history of the Bible, there is a very big correlation that when the Bible was hidden from mankind, that was what we call in our history books as the Dark Ages. The Bible was put away for 1,000 years. And there were no great scientific breakthroughs, actually, during that entire period of time. But when the Bible was through the men, several of His servants, it was then made public. Of course, it was, the Lord used Martin Luther partly, and several others, and also with the invention of the printing press, that the Bible was put it more into people's hands, the common person. That's why there was actually a Vulgate version, meaning the vulgar, the common version, the common talk language. And when that happened, there was this move called the Reformation, because the Word of God opened people's mind. And actually, in some sense, the Reformation was really begun out of one verse, right? The just shall live by faith, or the just shall have life and live by faith. This verse began God's move, or furthered God's move. And what history calls Reformation, we refer to as the Lord's recovery. And so throughout, when you read the Christian history, a book like Fox's Book of Martyrs by Broadbent, The Pilgrim Church, Miller's Church History, you see that throughout Europe and wherever the Word went, God's move went. And then, more in our time, in the last 100 years, not only the Bible itself, we've seen this. We actually saw this same thing in Russia. We saw this, that when communism fell in Russia in the early 90s, we sent hundreds of saints just to distribute Bibles and preach the gospel and so on. And actually the Bible, we sent saints to, at that time, it was portions of the Bible. We didn't have the New Testament in Russian. And later on, when we got the Russian Recovery Version, the New Testament, we sent hundreds of saints, and the Bibles went all over Russia. And I remember sitting in a living room. I was in Moscow, and I was the next day. I had just gotten there. I was going to give a conference to college students the next day, and some of us were praying for that. Someone rings the bell, and it's these two young girls, college students, and they say, "We came for the conference." And we say, "Who are you? Where are you from?" Says, "We are college students." They had a 24 hours train ride. They had never heard about the Lord's recovery, but on their campus, someone gave them a Bible with an invitation to this conference. And they started reading in this Bible, and that brought them, and they came to our conference. So it's not just stories from ancient times. I've actually seen where the Bible goes, God operates. And we've also seen that where our literature goes, also God operates. So when the books, the books of the spiritual books, the books from the ministry that expound the word, where those go, the Lord moves. And I'm connected with a number of places that I visit regularly in Russia, in Central America, in South America, even in Australia, where it was because they got a book. One book. One person got one book. And that became like a wildfire. And God's move in his recovery for the establishing of a local church began through that book, through one book. Well, for the establishing, that is so. You need the word. But for the going on, you need the songs. You need the hymns. And as God's move has progressed throughout the ages, with the word first, I tell you, the hymns have followed. The hymns follow because the hymns convey the truth in a certain way that gets into you very differently than spoken messages. Song is just that way. When you sing, something enters into you. Maybe not with full apprehension, but with a certain amount of appreciation. And so it's very interesting that in the preface, I don't know if you noted at the very end, I think in your hymn book, it says Living Stream Ministry, and then it says 1996. 1966. This is my point. 1966. You know, we mentioned this morning that the Lord's table was established here January 5th. Today's the 7th, no? January 5th, so Friday's the anniversary, 1958, exactly 60 years ago, right? And so the first Lord's Day of 1958, right? Then, as we saw in Memorial Day time, for those of you that were in that meeting on Lord's Day morning, Brother Andrew, he gave us a kind of history that actually Brother Lee came here just a few months following that in May, and he gave the first messages of the Lord's recovery in the West were actually not given in Los Angeles, which many people thought, but actually given here in New York City. And that was 58. But then he didn't move until 1962. And he moved to Los Angeles and began his ministry in a more formal way in December 1962. But one of the first things he did in 1963 was to start the work on this hymnal. And so in 63, remember that first conference was in December, actually the last 10 days of December in 1962, December 21st to 31st. And then in January of 1963, he began to travel, Brother Lee began to travel to visit many places. And actually, he always stopped here in 63, 64, 65, 66. He would give conferences here, mostly in the summertime. But he would be traveling, because he would receive invitations from that first conference and then eventually word of mouth. Two great things that he did during that period of time was travel to give the initial conferences, which were drawing seekers to Los Angeles. That's one. A second is this hymnal. Why? Because to have the church life, you must have meetings. to have Christian meetings, you must have songs. It's the Christian way to meet. That we see from the first, from the example in the Bible, and even from the Old Testament, God's people assemble with song. When they get together, they sing. That's just the way God's people meet, and that's the form of worship to the Lord. And so, if we don't have hymns that match the truth that we're trying to get into, it is a hindrance. It's a delay. It's a delay. So, this is what the preface was explaining, that although we appreciate those more than 800 hymns from which are our heritage, that were, you know, compiled, they did not only receive 800 hymns, they received thousands of hymns. They put the cream in here. But then they added the hymns that are from Brother Lee's writing and Brother Nee's writing and a few others. The Sister Barber and a few others were included there because those hymns express the truths that have been unveiled in our time. But I tell you that there are times when we come to a particular meeting and we want to release a particular truth, but you look for a hymn and you can't find a hymn. Actually, that was a big trouble during this last training. The brothers were trying to find hymns that match the five offerings. You can hardly find. You can hardly find one. Finally, if there's the last one, Brother Minero picked 1104. It's the only one we have that opens up the peace offering in such a way. But you know what? You know what? In Spanish, we don't have all the hymns. You have 500. So you don't know how many times I'm in a Spanish-speaking country and I'm going to give a message. And I say, oh, let's use this hymn. Sorry, brother, we don't have it in Spanish. Oh, and then you have to find something that's not as good to match the burden. Actually, there's a project now. We're trying to translate all the hymns to match the English hymnal. The Korean saints have done it. The Portuguese saints have done it. So they have, now you don't have to put different numbers for the Portuguese number or the Korean number. We have to catch up, hermanos. We have to catch up. And, you know, everywhere we work, the first thing is we put out some books. The main thing is put out the recovery version. The next thing is put out a hymn book. We have to have hymns for the meetings, for the meetings. If you don't have the hymns, it's hard to fuel the church life. So I hope this would show you a little bit how important the hymns are for God's moving. For God's moving. That's in history, but it's also in our history. And saints, it's really true. The example that Brother Dennis gave this morning. If you're singing a hymn or praying over a verse, the more repertoire, the broader your repertoire of hymns is, the more the Lord can speak to you. Because you'll pray something and a feeling will come, one line from a hymn. If you know that hymn, that will carry you there to fuel your prayer. So it really will enrich and enhance our personal fellowship with the Lord. It also would enhance our corporate worship of the Lord the more that we know the hymns. So I just wanted to say that little much. Sure, we have
10 minutes, so we could, anything you want to share or ask or whatever. Sure,
You know, our district has been separated, and it's not as large a crowd on the Lord's Day. I felt the difference. Especially, you know, the English-speaking saints are scattered all throughout the city, and we have a large population of Asian, Chinese mostly, okay? And we're very conservative people. We're not that kind of emotional type of people. And so we are always waiting for people to call a song. And I found myself doing the same thing, waiting for somebody else to call a song. And I realized what I've been doing is I come to the Lord's table and I pray a few phrases from one hymn somebody called, and I do a little prayer, and I felt, I'm done. I'm done for the meeting. I did my contribution. That was it. And I just hold there waiting for somebody else to call another song and waiting for some young people, maybe sisters. Everybody just contribute a little bit. You never see people go boom, 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 boom all the way down. And this training, I only listened to one message. And in this message, the burning, the burnt offering was night and day. There was no stopping. So when you come to the Lord's table, when you call songs, and when you participate, even you don't have a song, when someone calls a song that touches you, open your mouth and go all the way. Don't be shy. You know, this is more to the Asian saints than the Spanish or the, you know, other races. You know, we are just shy people. So open up. And don't hold back, because the Lord's burnt offering, right, is night and day. It was never stopping. The Lord's fire was coming down. Nonstop. It's keep on burning. So don't be a part-time participant. Be a full-time participant. Okay. I know we need to write new songs, and there's banner song every training and stuff. I just want to bring special attention to the Lord's table. On the Lord's table, we have many saints who doesn't come to the meeting that often. They're not familiar with the banner song or with a new tune somebody wrote a new song. So let's avoid calling them. Let's sing with the old tune. Don't come up and say, let's sing a new tune. I know in Brooklyn, from what I heard, and all the young people like to sing new tune. That's okay. You know, because the saints over there are smaller group, and they all know the song when they call it. But in a large crowd, like in Jamaica, we need to be mindful that there are other people in the crowd that doesn't know anything, just that language, whatever they will be given to. Let's sing it with that. Okay, some Chinese saints has the privilege of chorus. I think 116 had a special chorus in the English section. It is optional. But the Chinese saints has been enjoying them for many, many, many decades, including myself. And then, so when Brother James was around, we were singing. But when Brother James was ill, he went, and some people because it was difficult. The translation, I'm not saying Brother James' translation was that good. So one more syllable. There was an O in there. Oh, how. So finally, I got Brother James to remove the O, and then it fits the tempo, you know. And we need to sing it for the Chinese saints' sake, you know, because we are one body. We need to be mindful of each other, of our shortcoming, and what we need to, Lord Jesus, enjoy as a whole, as one. Okay, that's what's been in my mind.
I just want to say something really quickly, which is that you know, we've started having the readout of the hymns up on the wall, and it's very convenient if you don't have a hymnal because it's up there on the wall. But one thing we noticed is that if we are just watching the wall,
we may not be looking for the next hymn to sing. So, I like books better than I like computers. But anyway, that means nothing. Except that if I have the book, then I can thumb through it like the brothers are saying. So, even though it's less convenient to carry this book around, this isn't the one, but at least then we can be actively participating and anticipating what the Spirit might do next in the meeting. I think that, and of course on your phone maybe it's there and everything, but I just wanted to make that one little point.
Praise the Lord. I just want to confirm that this is a wonderful training. I am so happy to be in this training. Oh, Lord Jesus, I have been a Christian for a very long time and in the church for about 30 years, but I never realized this matter, or I never knew this matter about the metrical section. And wow, I can learn like 8 new songs. I never realized that, Dennis. So that's so inspiring. I can go back and sing 8 new songs because I have the tune. A lot of the times I don't know the tune, and if I need it, I call someone like our musical people. But praise the Lord. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoy the matter so much here. What a treasure we have. What an enjoyment of life these hymns have brought us into. I don't know where I would be without my hymn book today. The hymns have really enriched my enjoyment of the Lord. Amen. Really, we must endeavor to learn to sing, learn to enjoy these hymns, and I really appreciate the charge to try to memorize the categories. I think that's really important. One thing I just want to say, there was just one time that I was with a sister and we were kind of a little low, so I said, well, why don't we just pray read the index? We started pray reading the worship of the Father, and we were pray reading as the Eternal One, as the Spirit, as the Source. We kept declaring each line, and we got into the Spirit.
Amen.
This hymnal is so rich.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to this wonderful training.
Amen. I also just like to echo that this table of contents, we really should get into. I've heard this before, but I never followed up with actually memorizing the categories. But there's 30 categories. We can do that. The theology we believe is the theology we sing.
Yes.
And if you look at the table of contents, you can see the theology is here. Right? The first section is blessing of the Trinity. Then the second is the Father. The third is the Lord Jesus. The fourth is the Spirit. That's the triune God. And then, of course, then there's salvation, and then on and on. And I just realized, Lord, I'm short. If I were to come up with 20 topics of how to worship the Father, would I come up with these? It didn't even occur to me that we can worship the Father as the Spirit. Right? Would you consider that? That the Father is the Spirit, we should worship Him as the Spirit? That's the second subcategory. So, I'm just inspired. Lord, I need to get into this, just the table of contents. Such riches here. Amen.
I just want to encourage you all that it doesn't take that much time to actually get through the hymnal. So at the beginning of the training, I wanted to start getting through the hymnal. So I started at 1, and then I started playing through. What actually happened was, well, I was on piano service, and they said, oh, basically any hymn could get called. And then the fear of God was put in me. So I started, at first it was a technical exercise to try to learn how to play every song. But actually I found so many gems in the hymnal, because not only is it a repository of experiences, it's almost like a time capsule. Sometimes you'll be reading the ministry, and they'll quote a certain hymn, because that is their experience at the time. So when I found these things, I would write them in my hymnal because they're kind of like nuggets. One of them I just want to share with you for your encouragement, so you can know just a taste of what's in here. In the Present Testimony, it was a magazine that was published by Watchman Nee while he was in like 1929 December. This was one of the last issues of the Present Testimony. And they were about to close down production because they were under persecution from the government. Times were hard. And he quoted the last verse of 6:28, which is, "Just a few more miles, beloved, and our feet will ache no more. No more sin and no more sorrow. Hush thee, Jesus went before." It goes on. Brother Nee said, in the days ahead, we may suffer more misunderstanding and more severe opposition. But since we have been destined for this, we should remain faithful. This kind of experience is hidden in the hymnal. And now when you sing this hymn, you realize that in 1929, almost 100 years ago, saints going through persecution found God in this hymn.
Amen.
This hymn has been handed down to us, and it's a rich inheritance. And that experience, though we are not in persecution, we're living in America, our circumstances are different, and we are different people, but we can experience the same Christ that was earned by these saints.
Amen.
Through suffering. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for such a rich heritage. I just want to confirm that many times in our meeting, especially in the Lord's Table meeting, as we are singing, if we're paying attention to the hymn, a phrase or two will sometimes really trigger something within you, and you remember a fragment of a hymn that you enjoy. And so another thing I want to encourage the saints to know is the first line of the hymn or the chorus of that hymn. Because often when I remember there's this line that we just sing, and I remember another hymn, but I couldn't find it. But if you know the first line or of the chorus, then you can go to the back of the index and to find it. So we all need to exercise to follow the feeling of the Spirit or the leading of the Spirit in the Lord's table this way. Often the Lord will speak to us this way to trigger something within you with the hymn that you just sang, reminding you of another hymn. And we need to exercise to call that.
Don't worry, I won't sing. I like you all too much. My wife is talking about 116, about how there's an extra chorus for the Chinese-speaking saints, and I want to tell you that if you call it to him, tune 882, that will have the chorus in it, and it'll be good. So anyway, if you remember that, fine. You don't remember it, I tried. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we can be trained and give the Lord the praise that he deserves. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I mean, I just appreciated that singing is really a part of the Christian life and is part of our church life. Where would our meetings be if we didn't have song, if we didn't sing? But often, I mean, I know even from my experience, when we get together, sometimes you're just weighed down by everything and you just feel dead. You just feel dead. And sometimes you could say, even meeting, you feel like, it's not as living. It's not as living. But I'd like to just share some verses. Because even we can sing, but do it in a routine way. We just sing and it's over, and there's no response. Actually, we sang without much feeling, without even entering into the feeling in the song. You might not even remember what you sang. So I really appreciate it. We should really to appreciate this, the song, the hymns. Two verses. Colossians 3:16, singing with grace in your hearts to God. Actually, we realize that we're singing to God, that we can open our being to be filled, to be filled. And the next verse is in Ephesians 5. This verse says, to be filled in spirit. So for 5:18, it says, but be filled in spirit. Be filled in spirit, and how? It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Amen. So even if you feel dead, actually the way to get out of that is to sing. Amen. Actually, sing with your whole being. This is wonderful. I think we should try this. In our meetings, you know, we have many here, but in our meeting, it just takes a few just to wake us all up. Right, I've been woken up many times by just grace in your heart singing. Amen.
Amen. I wouldn't consider myself a musical person, but I can play music. I learned it when I was a child. My point is, you know, certainly we need to learn the hymns, because the hymns are the cream of the enjoyment of the Lord. When one is in that enjoyment, in that flow, that person will automatically want to open his or her mouth to sing. It's just so natural. It's automatic. So my point is, in this training, I heard this point from a brother that says, the amount of light renders on the amount of light renders on a degree of consecration. So, you know, and also it ties to another point that was mentioned in the training that, you know, in the book of Philippians talks about, you know, a lot of, the enjoyment of the Lord. Anyhow, you know, the life study in Philippians message 60 and 62, I strongly recommend all of you to read because it was mentioned in the training. Oh, Lord. I mean, you know, it talks about all the situation we have, that we are facing actually is assignment from God. And if we have a realization that what the Lord wants is, what God wants is Christ to be expressed, then, you know, we wouldn't consider if we're healthy or if we are poor. No, none of those matters, you know? I mean, you know, I'm still young, but I just thank the Lord that the Lord touched me in this way, that, you know, we really need to have a heart for the Lord to, you know, it's also mentioned in the training that, you know, no matter what you consecrate, doesn't matter if it's genuine or not, the Lord is ready to consume. So just consecrate and the Lord will do it. You know, whether it's, you know, prophesying or singing the hymns, the Lord will do it. The Lord will give us the enjoyment and we will want to sing. And we want to sing and we will want to look at the hymnals and we want to listen to the hymns. And as we listen to the hymns, we are expanding our repertoire. We will have a lot more enjoyment of the hymns. Amen.
Amen. In the preface, I also really appreciate the section where it says that much attention has been given to matching the tunes to hymns. Because I realized when I, growing up as a YP, I love the new tunes. And I really appreciate singing the new tunes. And then I went to the training and we sang a lot of old tunes. And it took a long time for me to get used to the old tunes. But the longer we sang with these old tunes, I realized you really enter into the feeling of the hymns. And I remember thinking, I sang 578 so many times, but it took me so many times of singing it with the new tune for me to enter into the feeling of the hymn. But even just singing it this one time with this old tune that I've never really heard before, I just really appreciated the song so much more, and it took a lot less time for it to become more real to me. And I realized they were saying that we should enter into the feeling of the hymn, but a really good way to do it is to sing it in the original tune that was in this hymnal.
This training, I was struck with the matter that Christ as a burnt offering is, as the fat, he is a delight to God. The Lord, God is satisfied and he delights in the Son. When we sang 299 this morning, verse 4 says, so dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be. The love with wherewith he loves the Son, such is his love to me. I realize that as the Father delights in the Son, when we do the Lord's will, we are such a delight to the Father. Through the hymns, it's poetic and expresses your feeling. And as you read and sing and read together, sometimes when I have to play, I don't really know the hymns. Like, one of the new hymns during the summer school, I, like, never learned the verses because I was just like, I got to play notes. I don't know what's going on. But when you get to sing and look at the words, you see that actually a lot of times these, the saints who wrote these things, they match your experience. Not just the doctrine, but you see how this is being worked out. And that brings you into a deeper appreciation and love for the Lord, and really deepens your fellowship.
Amen. Okay, we just want to remind you, we will not meet next Lord's Day. I'll be in Puerto Rico with the young people next weekend, so we'll not meet next Lord's Day. So we'll meet in 2 weeks. So we have 2 weeks. So your assignment now is to learn two new hymns instead of just one. And I think with the metrical index that Ricky brought out, it's not that, it's really easy to do. Just pick a hymn that you enjoy normally, find the metrical, you know, the meter is at the top underneath the heading of the hymn, and then look in the metrical index and you can find another number that you don't know, and you can look through a couple of those and maybe learn one of those. So we could learn two hymns, and then as an extracurricular assignment, start working on the 30 categories. Start to memorize those. See how far you can get on those, okay? So if you picked up a hymnal, you're certainly welcome to buy it. You can go to the back, and one of the young people will be there to take your $20. If you just borrowed it, I think you can go ahead and take it back there. I'm sure you unwrapped it, but anyway, we'll see if we can sell it unwrapped. It's quite a discount to get. We got this price, so we'd like to offer it to you. Amen? All right, so we're dismissed.